Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be doing my WNBA regular season recap as far as the regular season. And then, of course, you have the playoffs. I'll preview that. Also, postseason awards. I'll give you my predictions as well. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we have reached the end of the WNBA regular season. So I will be recapping that and we'll talk about the teams that are out. And of course, we'll talk about the playoffs. I'll talk about the first round there, all the matchups and so forth. I'll give you my predictions there. And then postseason awards, we'll talk about that as well. So without any further delay, let's get right into it. So we have your playoff picture, guys. We know who's in. We know who's out. Let's first talk about who's out. So we'll start with team number 12, because, of course, there's 12 teams in the league. And then we'll just go in descending order. And then we'll hit the playoffs, and then from there, postseason awards. So with that said, let's talk about the LA Sparks, who finished with the worst record, 8-32. But, guys, the building blocks are there. You saw what Rekia Jackson did down the stretch, the promising rookie for them. Of course, De'Erica Hamby, who had a fine season for them, being an all-star and just playing well. And then, of course, we saw what Cameron Brink showed you before, of course, her knee injury. So, of course, we're wishing a speedy recovery for Cam Brink. But these are your building blocks, guys. So the Sparks, I think, will be fine. They just need themselves a floor general, a point guard. And then my question, what happened to Zaya Cook? She hardly played for them last year. I don't know if Kurt Muller, the coach over there, I don't know if he soured on her, but I just don't get it. You needed point guard play, and you had Zaya Cook, who I think could run the point. So I didn't understand that at all. But nonetheless, that's what this team needs right now. So with that said, your free agents for that team, Kia Nurse, who played well for them, Odessa Sims, who they were able to pick up. She was cut by the Dallas Wings. And then Aria McDonald. So that's your free agents there. And then Lacia Clarendon, she's retiring. Well, she's retiring now. So you'll have someone there who you have to replace. Played on several teams, including the New York Liberty, before finding a place with the Sparks. So we're wishing the best for Laisha in her future. So that's your LA Sparks story. Now let's go to the Dallas Wings, whose season was wrecked by a myriad of injuries. They finished 9-31. And these are how the injuries broke down. You had Satu Sabally, who missed 25 games. Jaylen Brown, who was actually supposed to start for them, she missed 26 games. And then you had Natasha Howard, who missed substantial time, 13 games. And then Maddie Segrist, somebody who I thought could end up being the most improved player, but she got hit with the finger injury, so she was out for 13 games. And then my question was, you know, with all these injuries and so forth, of course, she had Arike Ogunbowale there, but what becomes of these young players? Lou Lopez-Senichal, who saw a little bit of time, but not much. Stephanie Suarez, who was finally healthy because she missed her rookie season with an injury. And then their pick from this past draft, J.C. Sheldon. How will she fit into the picture for the future for the Dallas Wings? So a lot of questions to be asked for Dallas. And actually, Dallas is in the catbird seat in terms of the WNBA lottery guys, because not only do they have their own pick, they also have the pick of, they could basically do a pick swap with Chicago Sky. So, which I'll talk about in a minute. So if Chicago Sky was somehow to win the lottery, Dallas would obviously do a pick swap and therefore get the first pick in the draft. So either way, they got a great shot at getting the number one pick, albeit if the Sparks and also the Washington Mystics, who I'll talk about, unless those two teams get the number one pick. So anyway you look at it, Dallas is in good shape right now in terms of the lottery. As far as their free agents, Satu Sabali, she's a free agent for that team. Also, Natasha Howard, the longtime veteran forward. Owakoye, who actually sat out this season and playing for the Olympic team, she's a free agent also. Jaylen Brown, who I just mentioned, who missed all the time, she'll be a free agent. And also Sevgi Azun, also she's a free agent also. So Dallas with some big questions once the offseason comes for them, which pretty much is now. So yeah, a lot of questions for them, but I think they're in good shape. I think they're okay. Latricia Trammell, I think the organization there gives her an out because of all the injuries that the team has succumbed. I think she comes back to coach that team. So Dallas, who with a lottery pick, with perhaps re-signing some of these players, I think will be back in the mix come 2025. The 10th place team, Chicago Sky, who was vying for that last spot in the playoffs, they're a team also with a bright future ahead. Once you have a healthy Angel Reese, who we saw the rookie season she had, phenomenal. Once you get Camila Cardozo, once you get her involved as well, also, Trinity Carter, who had a renaissance season for her with the Chicago Sky. I think those are pieces there you can build around, and this club can be a threat next year. But like many other ball clubs, guys, they need point guard play. And the thing is, guys, there's like a dearth of point guards that's available, especially coming out of college. Right now, the top prospect in terms of senior point guards is the transfer out of Princeton that's going to UConn next year, Caitlin Chen. I think that's a guard who could be pretty much in the mix as far as being a high pick, depending on how UConn does next season. But the in terms of point guards, there's not too many around there, guys. So, but these teams need help. So either it's going to come from the draft or from free agency. So who's out there, we'll see. But nonetheless, that is your pitcher for Chicago and also their free agents, Trinity Carter. I would think they would re-sign her. Michelle Onwuere, she's a free agent. Dana Evans, who comes off their bench, she's a free agent as well. And Isabel Harrison, their valuable big coming off the bench, she's a free agent as well. And then your ninth place team, the Washington Mystics, who kind of turned it on down the stretch, guys. But another team yet beset by injuries. Shakira Austin, she missed 28 games. Brittany Sykes missed 22 games. And then you had Carly Samuelson, who they brought in as a free agent. She missed 11 games. And then add on top of that, the year that Elena Deladon took off. So a lot of questions for Washington. And if I'm Washington, am I possibly thinking of dealing Shakira Austin in the offseason? Because think about it. She's been hurt pretty much every year she's been in the league, guys. And I actually, kind of speaking out of school here, but I was during All-Star Weekend, I actually spoke to someone kind of close to the organization. And when I asked a question about Shakira Austin, and they pretty much threw up their hands when I mentioned this, the possibility of her being on the move. So could that happen? I think it could. I think it could. I think there's a team out there. She's a talent in this league. Make no mistake. It's just the injury history that follows her. So that's something to keep an eye on, guys, for the Mystics. And then, of course, Elena Deladon. Does she come back to that organization or does she go elsewhere? Here's my guess. I would watch the New York situation pretty close. I would watch also the Connecticut situation close because I think Elena Deladon is a kind of an East Coast girl. She would rather be on the East. I don't see her going West to be with a ball club there. You know, she has close ties to her family, her sister that she, you know, looks after and so forth. So I think if she were to go elsewhere, it would have to be somewhere pretty close. Maybe a New York, maybe a Connecticut. So I would watch the situation with Breonna Stewart, who will be a free agent this coming offseason, and also Dawana Bonner, who will be a free agent as well. Could those be landing spots for Deladon? We'll see. But I'm not sure if she comes back to that Washington ball club. We'll see. But their free agents, Shatori Walker-Kimbrough, who came off their bench, Julie Vandeleur, who actually is a 31-year-old rookie who played well for them, Emily Exler, who really came on in the coming weeks, guys, the last few weeks. So Emily Exler, I think I would watch the situation with her. Remember, you have that expansion team coming in, the Golden State Valkyries. And if Emily was somehow out there, I think an expansion team can grab her and make her kind of a centerpiece. That's how good she is, guys. So I would definitely watch her situation closely. And then Suge Sutton, who came over from Phoenix in that Myesha Hines-Allen. She came from Minnesota in that Myesha Hines-Allen trade. She was part of that. So that's your free agent situation there. All right, guys. So that is it for the clubs that are out of the playoff situation. Let's talk about the playoffs really quick in terms of the matchups. You have the number one seed, the New York Liberty, facing off against the 8 seed, Atlanta Dream. New York finishing 32-8, the best record in the W. Of course, you have Stewie there. You have Sabrina Ionescu. You have Jonquel Jones, your solid big in the middle. You have Menaji Laney Hamilton. She's healthy now. She's looking good. Courtney Vandersloot. You have a fine bench over there. And then you have the Atlanta Dream with their big three of Ryan Howard, also Alisa Gray, their all-star, and also Tina Charles. And shout out to Tina Charles, guys. This is a player you hardly ever hear about, but listen to where she is on the all-time list, guys. And she achieved that the other night. I was at the game, actually, against the New York Liberty. She is the all-time leading rebounder in WNBA history. She is the all-time leading double-double queen in that regard. And she is second on the all-time scoring list, but behind, of course, Diana Taurasi. Tina Charles, who's won MVP in this league before, a big, solid in the middle, very efficient, and what a pro's pro, basically. Tina Charles, guys. If you don't know the name, Google and check her resume, because it's a solid resume, guys. The only thing that has eluded her is the WNBA championship. So that's your matchup in the first round. And in terms of individual matchups, Jonquel Jones versus Tina Charles. I saw a glimpse of that the other night during the game. That's going to be a tough matchup in the middle. Menaji Laney Hamilton covering Ryan Howard. That's going to be a task and a half for Menaji Laney Hamilton. But Queen B, she's a very fine defender, guys. So I'll be intrigued with that matchup. And then Sabrina Ionescu versus Alisa Gray. Alisa Gray, who you can't let her get loose. She's one of those players who, if she catch fire, forget about it. So I think the difference in this series, guys, the bench. I think the Liberty's bench is much stronger than the Atlanta Dream bench. When you got players like Kayla Thornton coming off your bench, Kennedy Burke, who's been a absolute solid addition to this ball club, and their rookie, Leonie Fibish, who has had a fine first season in the WNBA. So I think when all is said and done, I think the bench is where New York has the huge advantage. So with that said, guys, I think it's going to be a sweep, guys. I think it's going to be 2-0. I understand the other night the Liberty kind of fell behind there and then kind of, you know, let the young players get in there and get some burn. But I think Stewie, of course, I think she will carry the water for this team. Sabrina Ionescu has to show up. She has to show up in this series. And then I just think that matchup in the middle is kind of a wash. But I say the key to this series is Sabrina Ionescu. She has to show up in this series. So that's my prediction, guys, a sweep for the New York Liberty. Then you have your number two team, the Minnesota Lynx, who finished 30-10, going up against the 7 seed. The Phoenix Mercury, who finished 19-21. Phoenix Lynx, of course, the surprise team in this league this year. What they've accomplished behind their Olympian, their all-star, Nafisha Collier, what she was able to achieve there. Also playing with Kayla McBride there. You had Lana Smith, also Courtney Williams, solid point guard, solid floor general. Any team would love to have her. So with that said, I think the matchups here, Alana Smith in the middle versus Brittany Griner. I think Alana Smith, who has played well for them, I think she has to keep Griner at bay there, not let her go off, which I think she's capable of. LaFisha Collier versus Kalia Copper, I think that's probably be the route that the Phoenix Mercury goes in terms of trying to neutralize LaFisha. Not sure if it'll work, but although Copper is a fine defender, hasn't played well as of late. I think she's dealing with an injury there. But that's going to be an intriguing matchup. And this one is a tasty one, guys. Courtney Williams versus Natasha Cloud. Those are two floor generals that are very active, very much the key cog for their ball clubs. So I look forward to that one. So with that said, guys, I think at the end of the day, the Minnesota Lynx are on a mission right now. I think it will be a sweep in this series. And then shout out to Diana Taurasi, 20 years in the league, guys. The other night at Phoenix, of course, Footprint Center over there, a place I got to go to during the All-Star game. They showered love on Diana Taurasi, thinking that this might be her last time playing on that court. We'll see. She hasn't made a decision as of yet, guys, but right now it seems like she's kind of leaning towards that retirement sort of thinking. So if so, we witness one of the finest careers in the WNBA if she decides to hang them up. But we'll see what happens with Diana Taurasi. But again, Diana Taurasi, big ups to you. 20 years in the league, that's something to be applauded and not derided like some of these social media clowns pining for her to retire. She'll do it on her terms, on her time, and that's it. So, all right, so that's that prediction. This is a matchup that I am leery about, guys. The number three Connecticut Sun, who finished 28-12, and the Indiana Fever, one of the hottest teams in the WNBA. I talked about them last episode, finishing 20-20. Remember, they had the 1-8 start. They had the horrendous schedule at the start of the season, but they were able to right the ship, finishing with a 500 record. The matchups in this series that I'm looking at, of course, Dejanay Carrington versus Caitlin Clark. Dejanay has to not get into the antics here. She has to concentrate on D'ing up Caitlin Clark. That's her chief goal. So I think how she's able to keep up with her, frustrate her, will go a long way in this series. Also, Alyssa Thomas versus Kelsey Mitchell. I think that's a matchup that the Sun need to address. And you have your best defender on the team going against what I think is the Fever's best offensive weapon in Kelsey Mitchell. If Thomas is able to keep her at bay, the Sun have a chance in this series. And then inside, Breonna Jones versus Aaliyah Boston. That's going to be a nice little matchup. Two players who play the post well, very efficient inside. So definitely looking at that matchup. And I was talking about this matchup with friend of the show, of course, D. We were talking about this. He says the Connecticut Sun have to show up in Connecticut over there at Mohegan Sun Arena. I feel the same way. You cannot let the Atlanta Fever steal a game up there in Connecticut. If you do, then you're faced with a game three in Indiana with that raucous crowd, with that building that's going to be filled to the brim for their first playoff game in 8 years. I think that's a recipe for disaster for the Connecticut Sun if that were to happen. But my prediction, I'm picking the upset, guys. I think Indiana's going to somehow figure this thing out and steal this series. I think it could happen. So I'm saying they're going to go up there to Connecticut, steal one, and then come back to that crazy crowd in Indiana and take this series. So I look forward to this one. This is a fine matchup. And then you have, lastly, the number four seed, the Las Vegas Aces, who did win 27 games, lost 13, going up against the five seed, the Seattle Storm, with a 25-15 record. This is another tough one, guys. I was going back and forth with this one. But let's talk about the matchups. Asia Wilson versus Nneka Nwumike. Two veterans, two bigs there who definitely, I think it will even out as far as play goes. Maybe Asia, I'll give a slight advantage here, but not all that much. Chelsea Gray versus Skylar Diggins-Smith. I think this is a very intriguing matchup in this series here. Chelsea Gray starting to look like her old self now. Does she have enough gas to get through these playoffs? We'll see. Skylar Diggins-Smith has been as good as advertised for the Seattle Storm. Jackie Young versus Gabby Williams. I think this is a matchup the Aces must win. They must be able to contain Gabby Williams because she's one of those players. If she catches fire, that's game over. And then Kelsey Plum versus Jewel Lloyd. Jewel Lloyd, I'm concerned about. She has had injury as of late. So, in fact, she sat out the last game, probably as a precaution. Noel Quinn wants to be very careful in regard to her. So, I think this is a matchup that I will pay close attention to, guys. My prediction, when all is said and done, I think the Aces, too, have a few X factors in their back pocket. Having a Tiffany Hayes who can do a myriad of things, come off your bench and give you firepower, I think that's going to go a long way for the Aces. And then for Seattle, having a Ezzy MacBagor in the middle, I think having her healthy because she sat out the last game as well and she's dealt with some injuries. So I think health is a key. If healthy, I think Seattle Storm could pull off the upset, but I'm not sure as far as the injury picture goes. If that's not the case, I think it's Las Vegas Aces in a sweep here. But again, health is the key for Seattle. If they're healthy and firing on all cylinders, I think they can pull off the upset. So that's the way I'm calling that. All right, guys. So that is it in terms of the playoffs. Let us talk about MVP. Because now we're going to talk about the postseason awards. MVP, I think, is beyond a shadow of a doubt. Asia Wilson will get it, averaging just about 27 points, 12 rebounds per game. Add to that her 2.5 blocks per game over that and nearly 2 steals. I think Asia Wilson is head and shoulders above. A historic season for her. I think she wins the MVP. Some honorable mentions, of course, Nafisha Collier, what she's doing over there for the Minnesota Lynx. Her above 20 points per game, nearly 10 rebounds, nearly 2 steals a game for her, and nearly a block and a half. She's been solid. She's been a two-way player there. She's the engine that makes that team go. So Nafisha Collier, I think, gets definite second-place consideration. Breonna Stewart, of course, the leader over there for the New York Liberty, the top team in all of the WNBA. Also above 20 points for her, nearly 7 rebounds, 3.5 assists, and, of course, filling the stat sheet with steals and blocks as well. So Stewie always in the mix when it comes to MVP. And then, of course, you have to give consideration to Caitlin Clark, the kind of season she had as a rookie, over 19 points per game, nearly 8.5 assists per game, which led the W, which is a record, close to 6 rebounds, and then also above a steal per game for her and her first season in the WNBA. Impressive for a rookie to come in and do that. So Caitlin Clark, I think, in the mix, but kind of behind those three players in my view. And then when we talk about all WNBA first team, I think it'll be these four players here that I mentioned: Asia, Nafisha, Stewie, Caitlin. I think your fifth player will be Sabrina Ionescu, the kind of fine season she's had over there for the New York Liberty. So I think that's your five in terms of first team all NBA. And then we talk about rookie of the year. Of course, I think beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's been Caitlin Clark, what she's been able to do. I ran off the stats for her. And kind of a side note, guys, the other, maybe a few weeks ago, they tried to get her in a gotcha moment, but I tell you, whoever handles her as far as the media stuff goes, I got to give them props. Let's see if I can find it, guys. Give me one second. I mean, you talk about trying to trap her. They really tried with this one. So I'm going to give you it in one second. How they tried to get her to to go there, and it wasn't happening. She didn't take the bait. While I'm finding this, let me give you kind of the background for it. She was asked the question because Taylor Swift, after the debate, presidential debate, she endorsed Kamala Harris. So Caitlin liked the post because she was talking about, you know, women being able, you know, she talked about voting, of course, the importance of voting. And then she talked about as far as being able to, you know, get out there and vote. So the person who asked the question was Christine Brennan. Christine Brennan, she's been in sports as far as reporting and that sort of thing. She's been in the game for a long time. So she asked her this question, and listen to this answer.
You liked an Instagram post last night from Taylor Swift that got a lot of attention. And I'm just curious if you could tell us what that post meant to you, and if you are, in fact, potentially going to endorse Kamala Harris. Thank you.
I think for myself is, you know, I have this amazing platform. So I think the biggest thing would be just encourage people to register to vote. I think for myself, this is the second time I can vote in an election. At age 22, I could vote when I was 18. So I think do that. That's the biggest thing I can do with the platform that I have. And that's the same thing Taylor did. And I think continue to educate yourself with the candidates that we have, the policies that they're supporting. I think that's the biggest thing you can do. And that's what I would recommend to every single person that has that opportunity in our country.
You liked an Instagram post last night.
Brilliant answer. Absolutely brilliant answer. Whoever handles her as far as media and how to deal with the media, chef's kiss. That was the perfect answer. She didn't take the bait to say she's going one way or the other. She answered that perfectly. The importance of voting, she placed the emphasis on that. Absolutely incredible. Now, on the other side, you have the commissioner of the league. And what she was asked in her answer to that sort of question. And I thought this was absolutely the wrong way to go in terms of answering a question. My goodness. So it was in terms of, you know, the popularity of the league and how, you know, the league is growing and so forth. And she was asked the question in terms of the growth of the league. And she had an interesting answer to that, that I thought was beyond the pale for a commissioner to answer that way. Let's see if I can find this clip.
For this game.
You know, the reason I wanted to juxtapose the two is because there is a way you do things, and then there's a way you don't do things. And I was, okay.
Where I guess some trash talking entered in. But now it seems on some social media channels to have taken a darker turn, a more menacing turn, where race has been introduced into the conversation. Where not personally, it would seem, but their fan bases are involved in saying some very uncharitable things.
Well,
about the
one
other
thing that's great about the league right now, we do sit at this intersection of culture and sport and fashion and music. Like the WNBA players are really looked at now as kind of cultural icons.
True.
And when you have that, you have a lot of attention on you. There's no more apathy. Everybody cares. It is a little that Bird Magic moment, if you recall, from 1979 when those two rookies came in from a big college rivalry, one white, one black. And so we have that moment with these two. But the one thing I know about sports, you need rivalry. That's what makes people watch. They want to watch games of consequence between rivals. They don't want everybody being nice to one another.
So basically, she did not address the elephant in the room, which was the social media aspect of this, where you have a fan base there really being horrible and mean and mean-spirited and just being the worst parts of social media with their commentary. So instead of addressing that, Commissioner Kathy Engelbert went the other route and talked about the rivalry itself and how it's generating interest and so forth, kind of sidestepping, you know, protecting the players from this sort of behavior, the importance of being civil in terms of, you know, the fan bases towards these players, kind of protecting their mental health, if you will. So I juxtaposed the two to say, look at how Caitlin handled a difficult question that could have tripped up just about any other player. She handled it with aplomb, whereas you have the commissioner of the league falling and tripping over herself in her response to a very serious question. So much so she had to go a day later and give a mea culpa in that regard. So I just wanted to put that out there for you guys to hear for yourselves and make judgment. But definitely kudos to Caitlin. And bad job by Kathy Engelbert, who would later correct that. I guess her PR people said, yeah, you got to go clean this up. So that's just a little side thing. But Caitlin Clark, I think, rookie of the year. I don't think I'm speaking out of school here. What she was able to accomplish, and with her team as well, improving in the standings from last year. Think about 6-game improvement from last year. So Caitlin Clark, your rookie of the year. Coming in a close second, Angel Reese, with what she was able to do, over 13.5 points per game, over 13 rebound average, which is a WNBA record. And so coming in, both of them shattering records coming in. And then with the double-doubles, of course, Angel Reese, phenomenal season as well. Then you got to give props to Rekia Jackson, who came on late. It's like the Coach Muller over there, Coach Kirk Muller, figured out, you know what? I think this girl can play. Let me play her. So almost 13.5 points per game for her, nearly 4 rebounds, assists and a half. Those numbers will jump up. But Rekia Jackson, I think, had a fine rookie season given the circumstances. The all-rookie team in my eyes, those three players, Caitlin, Angel, Rekia. I would add into that, as far as first team, Leonie Fiebisch, guys, for the New York Liberty, who had a fine season coming out of Germany, playing for the Liberty, a perfect fit for that team. She can guard a number of positions. She's so efficient from three. You leave her a wide open three, she's knocking it down, hands down, and a valuable piece to that New York Liberty squad. And then the final player on the all-rookie team, I think it's Julie Vanderloo. I spoke about her when I talked about the Mystics. She was their point guard over there, 31 years old out of Belgium. She comes in and plays well for that team. So I think that's your all-rookie team. Coach of the Year, Cheryl Reeve, guys, of the Minnesota Lynx. Now, guys, coming into the season, they were picked as a middle-of-the-pack team. They did have some very good additions in the offseason. Alana Smith, you were able to add. Courtney Williams, Natisha Heidelman. You added those pieces there, and they have been invaluable for this ball club, guys. So Cheryl Reeve, working her magic over there, having this team be the second best team in the W. Impressive, guys. So I give her the Coach of the Year award. Coming in, probably a close second, Christy Sides, with what she was able to do. Guys, remember in the last episode I talked about it, people were coming for her after that 1-8 start. But those who know basketball know she's a good coach. She's a coach where she was given a difficult circumstance in the early part of the season. She righted the ship, and she was able to get that ball club and that ship sailing in the right direction. And they're the sixth seed in the playoffs, guys. So I would say Christy Sides a close second. And then Sandy Brondello, we tend to kind of take her for granted, but everywhere she goes, she wins, guys. She has the Liberty as the top team in the WNBA. Right now, I believe she's right behind Van Chancellor in terms of winning percentage in the WNBA all time. So Sandy Brondello deserves much props as Coach of the Year as well. I think she's somewhere in the mix. She would get votes, but I think at the end of the day, it's Cheryl Reeve. Defensive Player of the Year, seems like you do it every year and give it to her. Asia Wilson, I think, again, she'll double up getting the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. I think a close second. Nafisha Collier, with what she was able to do as a two-way player for the Lynx, I think she's second. And then I would give consideration to Dejanay Carrington, who had a renaissance season for her as a defender, as a player herself, on the offensive end as well. Definitely she would get votes as far as that goes. And then your most improved player, I think that's where DeJounay Carrington will get the hardware as most improved player. What she was able to do for that Connecticut Sun Ball Club, both sides of the court, I think DeJounay Carrington is the most improved player. Coming in second, Jenny Carter, what she was able to do with the Chicago Sky, kind of resurrecting her career over there. Now she's a valuable piece there. Although a free agent, I think she comes back. I think Teresa Weatherspoon loves her. Loves Kennedy. I think she finds her as a solid piece for that ball club, and she'll come back. And then Bridget Carlton from the Minnesota Lynx, who quietly had a pretty good year for that team. She's their forward over there. And if you don't watch out, she's one of those players that can kind of burn you. She's burned the Liberty a few times. I've seen it firsthand myself. But Bridget Carlton, a player who has definitely improved and will probably get some votes as well. But I think at the end of the day, it's DeJounay Carrington. All right, guys, so that is it for me. I'll probably come back to you. There's some NBA news that's coming around the pike. You just had Joel Embiid re-sign with the Philadelphia 76ers. So I'll probably talk about that at length on another recording. But guys, I thank you as always. All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. Also, guys, I'm on YouTube. You can find me there. All your podcast platforms, I'm there. Apple, give reviews, guys. Give reviews on Apple, over on your YouTube. Like the videos when you see them. Like the clips as well. Make comments if you like. You can do that as well. As far as support, on my website, there's three ways to support, guys. Buy me a coffee. There's a button there. Spotify, I have a donate button for that. And then PayPal. You can also get me that way on the website. As far as Cash App, $GD, that sports dude. Again, that's GD, that sports dude. That is the Cash App for me, guys. Also on social media, I'm there. LinkedIn, I usually put the videos there. IG as well. Facebook, I'm kind of in a love-hate relationship with Facebook right now. It's really not giving me the numbers that I'm looking for. And then Twitter, you know, I can't be bothered with that. Maybe I'll throw something up every now and again. So, and then TikTok, I do my shorts there. All right, guys. So that's it. Thank you for listening. As always, we'll talk soon. And playoffs is here for WNBA. Look forward to it. All right, guys. With that said, deuces.